And casting from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Sydney, you're listening to this week's FX Podcast from FXGuide.com.
Thanks for joining us for this week's FX Podcast. I'm Jeff Huser. This week's topic, the big ad, a commercial for Carlton Draft. One of those advertisements that you get an email from your coworkers saying, have you seen this commercial? If you haven't seen the big ad, we recommend you check out the link on the story page. Andrew Jackson from Animal Logic was visual effects supervisor. Mike Seymour sat down and talked to him. Mike?
Well, we have an old friend of FX Guide on the line now, Andrew. Thanks for joining us, Andrew.
Hi there.
So you're talking to us from Animal Logic, where you've been involved with a very big ad.
That's correct, yes. The biggest ad I think I've ever been involved in.
It's had an amazing kind of reception. I was looking at some of the stats online. I know on iFilm, which is one of the big download sites, it's one of the most popular downloads and rated the highest rating of any ad, including the Super Bowl ads. When they described it there, I think, as being bigger than even a Super Bowl ad.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an amazing project. Right from the first time we saw the animatic, we knew it was going to be a huge success, because it was already really good at that stage. Just with the soundtrack, the edit, the story, you could tell it was going to work really well. So it's been a joy to work on.
So we'll come to how you actually did it in a moment, but I think one of the interesting aspects about this is the fact that it was deliberately done as a viral campaign. In other words, it was deliberately put out on the internet before it was put out on television. And it's had a global response. That must have been incredible for you to be witnessing.
It was fantastic. I feel really lucky, really, to have been involved with it. We didn't really know anything about the viral campaign while we were making it. It wasn't part of the plan as far as we knew. Obviously, maybe the agency decided to do it that way when they saw how good it was going to be. But it was the agency told us that they were putting a website up, and that day we were getting half a dozen emails. Various people got emails from people all over the world saying, "Hey, have a look at this," not realizing that we'd actually done it. So, and I think within the first few days there were 500,000 hits on the website. So it's just one of those jobs where everything came together and it worked really well. But that whole viral advertising concept, I think, it's really exciting, because it only works if the product is really good. If the ad is it's so good that people want to show their friends.
In fact, it's really heartening in the sense of production values, because here's a case of people, not skimping on the production and getting massive, massive free media as a consequence. And really, Animal's been doing great work for years, but it must be great to know that, just on the basis of the quality of the idea and your production values, that it hit a global market.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is. It's, as you say, it's heartening to... And again, I just feel very lucky to have been involved in that particular project.
So your role on the project was that of what?
I was visual effects supervisor and 3D lead, so I sort of handled the 3D team and had a general sort of overview, shoot to vision, and a lot of pre-vis work and directing the shooting of background plates from the helicopter.
So tell me, how much previs was there, and how was it that you, did you have a good lead time on the project?
We had a really good time on the whole project. Actually, it was, total time from getting the go-ahead to final delivery was about 4 months. So we spent a fair bit of time before the shoot going through, really, we only previs the shots that were going to have the massive 3D people in them. And obviously the scale of the shots was really crucial, because you needed to know how high the helicopter had to be to get the right number of people in to cover each of the different shapes. So we set them all out. We didn't use massive at all for the previs. We just used little cone shapes, but we set out each of the shapes, and from that we had quite accurate plans for the height and angle of each of the shots and which lenses we wanted to use. So on the helicopter shoot day, it was quite straightforward to go to a specific height and then shoot at a specific angle, and we covered a whole lot of generic shots, really, but
And the director was Paul Middleditch, who's a very good director. Did you did you have a sort of a lockdown before the shoot, or was he wanting to keep it pretty fluid on what would happen on the day?
He was pretty good. It was pretty much locked down. I guess the only thing that changed during the shoot was that from the previous, we were in this amazing location in New Zealand, so we didn't want to look down at the ground because that could have been anywhere. We wanted to sort of tilt the camera up and get a bit more of a view of the mountain, so that was probably a slight change from some of the previous stuff, but generally we stuck pretty closely to what we decided before the shoot.
So, as you said, you were using Massive software, but this wasn't your first Massive project, was it? You were familiar with the software.
That's correct, yeah. We've used it on various other projects. Here at Animal Logic, we've actually developed a few tools to make using Massive to sort of streamline the use of it and integrate it with the render farm that we have here.
What was the renderer that you used on this job?
It's all rendered with RenderMan.
And let me ask you a question. Was this Massive 2 that you were using, or Massive 1?
No, I think it's Massive. It's 1. Something. I think 1.2 just came out fairly recently, I think, and we weren't using that.
Because I think the new version allows the actors or agents to have footprints and leave behind painted elements to, further enhance their readability. Were there any things that you did like that to help sell in the Massive stuff in terms of how it was composited, other than, of course, just the animation of the agents?
I mean, the shots that we were doing, the characters were all pretty small. We're quite a long way away, so that sort of interacting with the landscape wasn't really required for this job.
How many actual actors or...
300 extras, and that was including quite a few sort of featured extras. So, all of the shots that are... Basically, the shoot divides up quite almost exactly into live action shots and CG shots, so there isn't very much mixture.
So in the wide shots, it's 100% CG as opposed to being just front edge or lead edge being. Okay.
Yeah.
And what about wardrobing and getting them to match between the two, the live action and the wide shots? Was that relatively easy?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, there was a fair bit of grading in the colour of the robes anyway, just because they didn't get exactly the right colour because they were the corporate colours for Carlton United, and the red wasn't exactly right, so the whole plate was graded quite heavily in towards a sort of maroon red. Just matching each, we had a lot of good reference of the people because there were, as I said, 300 people on the shoot, so we had plates to match the 3D people too, and we did quite a lot of grading to sort of get all of the plates to match the same sort of colour and look and feel. But it wasn't too bad, the matching them.
And even though you're in a spectacular New Zealand kind of landscape, I think you also did matte paintings, didn't you, on the some of the back plates?
Well, all we did really was we added a few snowy mountains behind some of the foreground hills. Some of the snowy mountains are real in camera, but there are a few shots where we just added a few more distant sort of high peaks and a few clouds. So over the days that we were shooting, it varied from sunny to overcast, but there were some absolutely stunning shots with little fluffy clouds sort of hanging in front of the foreground hills. And a lot of those are in camera, but we added a few more to some of the other shots that didn't have them, that sort of helped tie the whole spot together.
Now, if I'm right, it was Angus Wilson, who's an excellent compositor, that was your lead compositor on this, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
So can you just walk us through the pipeline? What was coming from 3D in terms of, were they 8-bit PAL res? Was it 16:9? I mean, how was the pipeline of what went to, and what was it actually composited in?
It was in, all composited in Flame, and it was 8-bit PAL res, which was then cropped, and there was a little bit of racking, and when we put out 16
And the whole turnaround time of the project was 4 months from start to finish, is that correct?
Yeah.
And so that's...
it was a very generous time scale, really, for the project. We could have done it in a little bit less time if we had to.
And so then the actual campaign's now gone to air, so it's actually now both on air as well as still on the internet. I guess the huge question to ask is a sequel. Will we? It's been so successful. Surely this opens the door to you being massive again.
Well, I hope so. I haven't heard anything about a sequel yet, but you would imagine it would be a good idea, wouldn't you?
Well, I imagine if we do see it, we'll see it on the internet again first, because Carlton Draft, as I understand it, is only sold in Australia. This is an ad specifically for the Australian market, and I know I was getting friends from Miami sending me links, and so whether this opens the door to other things, I certainly hope it does. And thanks very much for talking to us this afternoon.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX Podcast. Please let us know if you have any suggestions for stories or future podcasts. You can reach us by using the Contact Us links at the top of the homepage. This podcast is copyright 2005 FX Guide LLC. Broadcast or redistribution is prohibited without the expressed written consent of FX Guide LLC.